I believe there are two reasons that a person might steer clear of the book of Deuteronomy. And I'll give them to you. At first glance, it appears to be about a man who's reminiscing about the past. You know, the good old days. I've reached that age in my life where I think my boys sometimes look at me like, well, Dad's just reminiscing. You know, it was tougher then. We were stronger then. We were smarter then. You know, we just think back to the good old days. The days, you know, you go to school uphill both ways, those type days. Also, here's a second reason why I believe people steer clear of this book. It appears to be nothing more than just repetition. It's just the law over again. You know, same thing. I've already read it in Exodus. I've read it in Leviticus. I don't need to read this. I can just move on. Are those valid? That's the question we have. Are those valid reasons? I really don't believe they are, and I hope to show you over the next few minutes the importance of this book, why it's needed as a book. Of course, they're all together, but why we can read and study this book and we can learn from it. First off, yes, an older man, Moses, nearing death, wrote the book. However, I don't think it's reminiscing as much as it is a recollection and a warning for this new generation that had come upon the scene. And so he is reminding them, so to speak, recollecting what had taken place and warning them of their conduct, their decisions. Secondly, yes, there is some repetition, but as we'll see, it's for a purpose. There was some repetition involved in the law, but there was a reason for it. And also there are some changes, not to the law, but to their view, as we'll see here in a little bit. And then also the Israelites were about ready to enter the land of promise, the land that God had given them. And I think this book was written to remind them to live correctly before God. That's what this book was written to. You see, these people had witnessed a generation suffer because of disobedience. And I think Moses was probably thinking, hopefully they've learned from this. Hopefully they saw what happened. They heard what happened. Now that that generation is gone, they learn from their mistakes and they're able to go forward and God will bless. So this morning, let's look at Deuteronomy. I've titled this The Book of Obedience. The Book of Obedience. We're going to have three thoughts here. We're going to talk about first the recollection, how Moses looked back and used that to challenge the people and encourage them. And then secondly, we're going to talk about the repetition, because there is some repetition as far as the law is concerned. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about the reminder as they go forward, a reminder for them to follow God. So let's talk about the recollection first. I want to point out, this wasn't just a man telling a story. You know, sometimes we can get that impression that this was just Moses telling a story to the people. They were sitting around listening. Yes, he was telling them of the events, but he was providing some valuable lessons. That was the reason why he was speaking to them. That's why he was bringing some of this back up, so they could remember. Now, we have a few things to remember on this. First off, some of these people, they may have heard about some of the events, but they may not have been directly involved. What I mean by that, this is a new generation. You know, I look back at my dad's generation. He's told me some things as far as what happened, some things that took place when he was growing up. Now, I didn't live through those. I just know them from either history books or from what he's told me or from others have told me. But I didn't actually live through those. And because I didn't live through them, I'll be honest, there are times I don't think about them very often. I don't think about them very much. You know, I've heard people say that the generation that grew up during the Great Depression, they looked at life a little bit differently than some others do because of what they had to deal with and the struggles they went through. And that's probably true. And I think that's what we have here in this situation. Moses is telling these people, hey, this is what happened. This is what they went through. Learn from this so that way you don't make the same mistakes. I think Moses hoped they would learn from the past. They would listen to him. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 tells us this concerning the Israelites. It says, these things happened unto them for in samples, examples. They are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, the Apostle Paul believed the Old Testament. Not only was it true, but he believed it was there for us to learn from, to look back at, so we could find some lessons of how we're to live for God today. So it's important to learn from others. You know, we can be encouraged from others. We can be challenged from others. I don't know how many people I've learned from. Countless. I look back at my life. Of course, my parents. I've learned from them. Of course, there have been teachers in my life I've learned from. I've had friends that I've learned from. There's people that I suppose I don't know their name, but I learned from them. I saw them do something. I thought, that's a good idea. Or, oh, I'm not going to do that. You see, we learn from others. Constantly, we're learning from others. You know, I learn from other believers. I've seen believers go through trials and difficulties, and I thought, you know what? That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. I've seen their patience. I've seen their strength. I've seen their faith. I've seen their obedience to God when their world is crashing down around them. And I think, that's the way to do it. You see, we learn from others. Of course, we can learn the other way too and say, that's not the way to do it. But we're to learn from others, and I think that's what we find here. Now, here's the two thoughts on what they were to learn. First, they were to learn from their success. Turn with me, if you would. We're in Deuteronomy. Let's go to the first chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And right off the bat, you'll notice in verse 1. We'll start with verse 1. He says there, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab." So we find Moses is speaking. These are the words that Moses had for him. But I want us to go down to verse 4. This is where he begins to give them some lessons. He says here, "After he had slain Sihon..." Well, actually, let's go back to verse 3. "It came to pass the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." So this is the Lord. Verse 4, "After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei." Now this morning, I don't have the time to go through these chapters in depth, but what you'll notice in the first four chapters is Moses providing examples for the children of Israel. And the first set of examples that he pretty much gives is examples of success, how they were successful, how God blessed them. When leaving Egypt, Israel threatened nobody. They were a scraggly bunch of ex-slaves. That's the way I'll put it. They were no threat to anyone. That's why I think they were attacked often, because the people saw them coming and they hadn't fought in battles or wars. They hadn't been prepared. Yet we find that they were successful, and it's because of God. I guess we could pretty much just say their success was due to divine intervention. They were successful because God got involved in their life. God protected them. God provided for them. God directed them. And with God, they found success. With God, they were blessed. And that's what Moses wanted them to remember. Deuteronomy 2, if you go over to that second chapter, he talks about the first one here. Verse 4 says, "And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not as much as foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession." But what I wanted to point out is, notice, he says, "they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed of them." You see, God is telling the people of Israel, guess what? As they moved forward, Moses is saying, hey, God protected us. That He put fear in the hearts of those that were around us, so that way we could be successful. And then if you look over in Deuteronomy 3, verse 1 says, he says, "Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. Thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon." So he goes into the second example here and says, guess what? We move further. And there was a king who came out and stubbornly opposed us and wasn't going to let us pass. But God says, don't fear him, because I'm going to put him in your hands. I'm going to take care of you. You see, what we find in the first four chapters of Deuteronomy is that their success was due to God. Had nothing to do with their abilities. Had nothing to do with their intellect. Had nothing to do with their strength or their power. It was due to God and God's work in their life. You see, with God, all things are possible. Jesus taught us that, or teaches that in the New Testament. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You see, the principle remains the same today. And that's where we can learn from this book. The first four chapters, we can look back and say, you know, God did this for Israel. Well, God can help me through this. God can help me overcome this trial or this problem or this mountain that is just put in my path. God can get me around it or over it. Because God is good and because God is great, and with God we can be successful. So we find with God, great things can be done. Great works can be accomplished that glorify God. Great strength can be found over temptation and sin. Great patience can be had while we're waiting for God to work. Also, great endurance can be given through difficult times. You see, with God we can be successful. And not just with battles like they had, but with all of our trials and with all of our troubles. So this morning, whatever you face, with God, you can get through it. I believe I can say that confidently. Looking at these four chapters, That's what Moses is trying to point out to the people. With God, you can get through those problems or those trials. You see, Moses knew there were going to be some difficulties for Israel. It wasn't all going to be an easy path. But with God, they could be successful. So that's what we find first. The second thought in the first four chapters is the suffering. See, he also pointed out that the Israelites suffered, and it was due to their disobedience. So basically, he says, here's what happens when you're with God and with God's with you. Here's what happens when you decide to do things on your own. Here's what happens when you decide to rebel and when you decide to become selfish and you just want to go your own direction and you want to do things without God. Well, here's what's going to happen. Turn with me if you would. We're in Deuteronomy. Let's just go back to the first chapter. Notice what he said in verse 25. And this is, he's talking about them the first time that they're near the land. He says, they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment, he says, of the Lord your God. We know that's why they were put out in that wilderness for 40 years. They refused to follow God into the land. They were afraid. Remember, 12 spies were sent in. They returned. 10 said, we can't do it. 2 said, yes, we can. And the people went with the 10. You know, be careful of going with the majority. It's not always right. They went with the 10, and the Bible says that God allowed them to go their direction, and they went and they suffered out in the wilderness. You see, what we find here is Moses is reminding them that without God, then you're going to struggle. There is going to be some problems. Deuteronomy 1, we're in chapter 1, notice in verse 42. The Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight. This is against, we find here later in one of their battles. He says, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, notice again, and you would not hear. That was the problem. They weren't listening to the direction that God had. He said, I spake unto you, Moses said this, you wouldn't hear. Now he's talking to the nation as a whole, of course, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up unto the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and destroyed you in Seir even unto Hormah. So he says here, he goes, we faced the Amorites and God said, don't go because I'm not going to be with you. And then he said, you went presumptuously and you thought you had it. You thought your power, your strength, your abilities was the reason why you were successful. And you went without God and you ran without God when they chased you away. You see, what we find, Moses is telling the people here, hey, disobedience to God never leads to success, only produces problems. And that's the lessons that the Israelites learned through the years, success and suffering. You see, their problems were due to their disobedience. With God, they were great. Without God, they were nothing. I think we can apply that to our life today. With God, we can do great things for God. Without God, we can do some things, a lot of things. We can be active, but we can also run into problems and struggles just because of disobedience unto the Lord. So I encourage you this morning, learn from their lessons. That's what Moses was challenging this generation to do, learn from the past. So let's learn from the past and let's grow from it and build upon it. That's what it's there for. Read Deuteronomy 1 through 4. See how they were blessed when they were with God and how they struggled without God. And apply that to your life. Read your Bible. Pray. Walk with God. Maintain a relationship with God so you can be blessed through your trials and your troubles. Now, let's move on to the second thought. And this is the repetition of the book. Chapters 5 through 26. We find Moses going over the law again. And I'm going to have two thoughts on this. First, the purpose of this. And then some of the preparation that Moses was giving to the people. First, the purpose. You see, this was a new generation, as I mentioned before. And they needed to hear, I think, what God expected of them. It's important to teach your children. It's important to teach your grandchildren. It's important to teach the children of this church. All the children that come into the church, it's important for us to teach them the Bible and the ways of God. So then, when they get older, they know it. Those of you that have grown up with parents who took the time to teach you the ways of God, thank the Lord for that. Praise God that you had parents who taught you that. Praise God that you learned that. Now, that's not saying that that's the only way to be saved. Obviously, salvation is between a person and God. And I know a lot of people that have been saved that were raised in ungodly homes. And they're saved and they love God today and they serve God. But you know, it's a blessing to be taught at a young age. It's a blessing to know the ways of God. So that way, some of the troubles can be avoided as you get older. And so we find that that's what they were to do. That was the purpose of this. A new generation was ready to go into the land. And Moses was teaching them the ways of God so they would know what God would expect. You know, this is a simple thought. But if we don't know what God expects, we can't live a life that's pleasing to Him. You see, if someone doesn't know that they're a sinner, there's no reason to be saved. If someone doesn't know that Christ has died for sin, they may realize they're a sinner. They may realize that they don't do right all the time, that they make mistakes. But if they don't know that there's a Christ who has died for sin and who forgive them, then salvation cannot come. That's why we send missionaries out. We pray that they'll be able to share the gospel with those that have never heard. You see, hearing, being taught is important. And that's what Moses was doing with the people, teaching them. So, of course, we find he gives the Ten Commandments again. He starts right there. That's where we should start, the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, he covered some of the other laws that were given. And so it appears to be repetition. But I want to draw your attention to a slight change. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy 5. And when I say a change, not a change of the law. I want to make that clear. The law was perfect. The law was given from God. It wasn't changed. It hasn't changed today. It's still God's law. But a change to the motive behind keeping it. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Notice in verse 14, he's going through the Ten Commandments. In verse 14, he says, "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou." Verse 15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." Now I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 20. Because I want to point out a difference here. And this is Moses speaking. Now the law has not changed as far as the Sabbath when he gave it. But notice in Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 11. It says here in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now notice verse 9. "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." Up to this point, it's pretty much the same. It's the law. But notice the reason here in verse 11. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." I want you to notice the motive changed. You see, when God gave the law in the book of Exodus, they were to keep the Sabbath day because, well, God gave it. He's the Creator. He's God of heaven. This is His law. They were to keep it because He's the one who made this earth. He's the one that's the authority. He's in control. We go back to Deuteronomy, and I pointed out to you, why were they to keep it here? It says in verse 15, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." You know what Moses is telling him? He says, "You keep this because you belong to God. You've been redeemed." You see, he doesn't go back now to the creation. He goes back to the point where they were redeemed. You see, they were brought out of the world. They were brought out of Egypt. They were established as a nation. And they were given a land eventually. That's where they're going to go into. They were given the law. And we find here, I think, that Moses is saying the motivation changed. You see, they were to obey God because He was their God. He wasn't just their Creator. They were to obey God because He was their Redeemer. Now the law remained the same, but now they were to keep it, I think, out of love. Not out of obligation, because He was their Creator, but out of love because He was their Redeemer. See, that's a whole different ballgame, so to speak. Now they were to follow God because He's the one who was their God. He's the one who was leading them. He's the one who had been providing for them. He's the one that was going to bless them. He was their God. He was good. He was great. And they were to love Him. You see, let me give you some thoughts. If we refrain from bowing down to images, you know, we're not to serve idols. The Bible makes that clear. If we do that, say if we say, "Well, I'm not going to bow down to idols," and someone says, "Why?" We'll say, "Well, the law told me to." Well, that's good. But if you do it just because of the law and no love, what's the point? Let me get to this. If we obey our parents because, well, you know, my dad told me to do this, I'm only obeying you because the law says I have to. There's no love there. Here's the point. You know, you can obey the law and have a filthy heart. That's the point. You can obey the law and have no love within. You see, I think this is what Jesus was trying to get across. Turn them, if you would, to John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus teaching here in the New Testament, John 14. And here's what he said concerning obedience. John chapter 14, and he says here in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Notice he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, as believers, we don't obey God out of obligation. We obey God because we love him, because he's our Savior. That's why we obey God. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we say the word. I hope and pray this morning, that's why you're here. You're not here so that way you can be in good standing with God or you can make sure you're saved. That's settled. That's taken care of. You're here because you love God. You want to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to know more about him. You want to sing praises unto him. Whatever else we do, you want to worship the Lord because you love God. That's why tomorrow morning you pray, because you love God. Or during the day, or you read your Bible, or you live a life that's pleasing unto him. That's why you don't bow down to idols, because you love God. You have one God and you love him. And so you're not going to bring in another God to worship or something else that would take his place, because you love him. You see, what we find here is this changed the motivation for the Israelites. Sadly, many, I think, still held on to the old ways, and they later we find that they still went through it out of ritual, and love was missing. But here Moses is saying, guess what? He's your Redeemer. He's your God. And that's why you need to love him. So we find that's the purpose, I think, of the repetition of the law, is to teach the new generation, but also to show them that they're to obey this because of their love for their God. Also, here's the preparation. They were about ready to enter a new land. And as they would go into this land, we'll find in the other books, they would run into all sorts of troubles, all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of teachings too, by the way. A whole lot hasn't changed. There was all sorts of idolatry and gods and false teachings that they would run into. And I believe Moses knew that if they were going to succeed with God, they had to know what God expected and what God wanted. And so God, he went here through the law and said, this is what you need to do. Here's what comes to my mind. Those of you, either maybe your parents did this to you when you were younger. I remember my parents. There were times I'd go out. I remember thinking when I went to college. I remember my mom, do this and do this. Don't do this. Make sure you do this. You know, as parents, sometimes we do that with our children. Or maybe your parents did that with you. And it's not because they don't trust you. I don't know. A lot of times it's because they love you. They don't want you to mess up. They want you to do this and do this and do this, or don't do this. And as a reminder, here you go, a recollection. They may have already taught you those things. They may have already taught you those things as you were growing up. But as you go out, they want to make sure that you remember those things. And that's what we find here with this repetition. Moses was, I think, with the strength of God, was preparing them to go into this land where he knew there'd be all sorts of temptations and trials. And he wanted them to walk with God. So the law was repeated so they could look to it and they could obey it. Number three, and this is just a reminder, I think, we have here repetition. And finally, chapters 27 through 34, a reminder. As I mentioned before, this book was given to a new generation. Moses hoped they would learn from the previous one and make better decisions. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 27. From this point on, what we find here is Moses is teaching this group of people. He's went through the law, and now he's challenging them to make the right decisions, or the correct decisions. And he gives them a reminder, so to speak, on what happens if they go the right way, and what happens if they go the wrong way. Beginning in 27, it says in verse 1, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I commanded you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster." So he says, remember these commandments. Keep them. See, that's the key right there. Keep them. There are a lot of people that have Bibles, but they don't read them. You know, Bible is good, but if it's never read, it has no effect. It's the same here with this law. He says, keep the law. You've heard it. Now keep it. And then he says, he had them set up. They were to set up a memorial of great stones there so they could remember and be reminded of what God had for them. So we find that. Now go over to chapter 28 and verse 1. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken." Now I think this is probably the key verse of the entire book. This passage here, these two verses. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Moses looks at his people and says, guess what? You go over there. Now, Moses wasn't going with them, and he knew that. He's preparing them to go. He says, if you listen to God, you obey his commandments, you're going to be blessed. You see, there's consequences to our actions or our conduct. Here, he's going to say, if you obey, you're going to be blessed. Later, he'll say, if you disobey, you're going to be in trouble. But if you obey, you're going to be blessed. Now, in this passage, verse 3 tells us that there'll be blessings in the field. Verse 4, this is Deuteronomy 28. Verse 4 says they're going to have blessings in their harvest. Verse 7 says they'll have victory over their enemies. Verse 8 says they'll receive riches. Verse 9, they'll have a good name. Now, that's a testimony is what it is, a good name because of God. Number 11, it says they're going to have a heritage. He talks about having children. They're going to have a heritage as a nation. Also, verse 12, they'll have spiritual blessings. And notice the condition in verse 14, "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." He says, guess what? You're going to have all these. You have to follow God. You can't go to the right. You can't go to the left. You've got to get right behind him. You've got to line up with God, his commands. You have to keep them. Because if you go to the right or to the left, you'll not receive these blessings. You see, what we find here is they were challenged to obey. They were to be obedient. Now, let me bring this into 2016. Of course, we're not Israel. Of course, we don't have the promised land as far as an earthly land promised to us as a church. Thank the Lord what we have. But here's how we can really learn from this. Let me give you a modern thought. You see, a lot of people teach, a lot of churches teach that under grace, we call it grace, we're saved by grace through faith. They teach that under grace, that there's no demand to be obedient, that we can obey if we like to obey, if not, we don't have to. Now, that's big in the evangelical circles right now. That's why I think you see a lot of worldly conduct, a lot of worldly attitudes. I don't know if they're saved or not. I don't know their hearts. Some may be saved, but they're just following this teaching of just live as you like, because guess what? You're under grace. You're already saved. No big deal. Well, I think that's incorrect, and it goes back to what we talked about in John 14, 15, where Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, that's a good question to ask. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so that teaches obedience. Turn to me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. You know, the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love because he talked a lot about God's love. He's also the apostle who I think sets us straight on this. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 5. He says, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." He said, you believe in Christ as your Savior, you're saved. Born of God. Verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God." Notice what he says there. "And keep his commandments." Notice how the obedience and love are together here. You love God and keep his commandments. Once again, loved ones, it's not about obligation once you're saved. It's out of love that we follow God and that we walk with God. You see, we need to understand that we read the Bible not because we think, well, I've got to, you know, read my Bible today and I've got to check it off to make sure that I've read it out of obligation. No, it's we love God. We want to know more about Him, what He has for us. So we read the Bible. We pray to Him. We talk to Him. You see, we obey Him because we love Him. There's a love in our heart. And so we find here that it says there in verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I think what happens when someone is saved, I hope and pray everyone here is saved, you trust in Christ as your Savior, but I think really what happens is the change that takes place in the life of a believer is what gives us the ability to love God. You see, before we're saved, our heart is after ourselves, after the world. We have a sinful nature. Once we're saved, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit washes and regenerates. And once we're saved, we're given a new life. And I think that new life, we have the love of God in us now. And so we begin to love God and begin to look to God and love Him. Of course, we make our mistakes and we have stubborn times because we still deal with the flesh. But we have a love of God. And we keep His commandments not because we feel obligated to. We keep his commandments because we love him. You know, it's hard to explain that to someone who is of the world. I'll just be honest with you. There have been times I've talked to people who are not saved and they look at me like I'm crazy. Why in the world would you go into the ministry? Why in the world would you leave other careers to go preach the gospel? Why would you do that? Well, because God called me and I loved him. If he wants me to do it, I'm going to go do it. He saved my soul. What else am I going to do? He's my Savior, my God. I love him. You see, what happens to a believer, that change in heart, all of a sudden there's a love there. And whatever God demands, it doesn't, as it says there, it's not grievous. We don't look upon God's law anymore as being hard and difficult and grievous. All of a sudden, the attitude has changed. We look upon God's law as being wonderful. God has given us direction. God has told us about Him. God has told us how we should live so that way we can have good lives here on earth. We can have peaceful nations and peaceful cities if we just follow God's direction. You see, God is good and God's law is there for us to follow. You see, following by love, obeying His commandments out of love. Also in 1 John, let me point out 2 John chapter 1, and it says here in verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady," that's who he's writing to, "not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." You see, we're to walk after his commandments. He says, this is love. You know, that goes back to the Old Testament, all the way back to Deuteronomy. A lot of people don't realize that there's love in the Old Testament. You see, Moses had already explained to them, they should now follow the Sabbath, and I think that included the other laws, because God was now their Redeemer. He was now their God. They belonged to Him, He belonged to them, and they were now to love their Lord. So we see here the obedience. When you obey, blessings come with it. Now, let me give you some thoughts on the disobedience. The nation of Israel had been to the border of the land once before. You know, it took them, 11 days to get there? As I mentioned when we did the book of Leviticus, they took 40 years to get somewhere that it should have taken only 40 days. That's how far off they got because of their disobedience. But they had been to the border of the land once before and they failed to enter because they disobeyed God. Now they have returned. That's where we find this book. They have returned, and on the banks of the Jordan, Moses challenged them to obey God. And if they refused, you read through chapters 27 through 34, if they refused, they could expect trouble. Just as their parents in the previous generation disobeyed God and found themselves in trouble, he says, you refuse to follow God, then you can find some trouble, just like they did. So what we find in this book, Moses is challenging the people basically to submit to God, submit to His will, and surrender entirely to the Lord. And this morning, that's the lesson we can take from this. We should surrender to God, submit to His will. We should believe and obey. That's the theme that runs through this book. Believe and obey. And that's all that God ever requires of anyone. You know, if there's someone here this morning that is without salvation, I hope everyone here is saved, but if God has impressed upon your heart here the need to be saved, you know, the Bible teaches you don't have to go and get things right. You don't have to go, I guess you say, do this or do that so you can be saved. You just need to believe and obey God. And what does God say concerning salvation? He says, repent of your sin and trust in me. Believe in the heart. You see, that's all that God requires of a lost person. I sometimes think as churches, we muddy the water sometimes. We expect lost people to live correctly. You know, when a lost person lives correctly, that should confuse us, really. It's the other way around. They have a sinful nature. I look back to my life before Christ. That sinful nature, without Christ, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be, but I can tell you I wouldn't be here this morning. You see, we can't expect someone who's lost to live for God. We need to challenge them to believe and obey. That's what they need. They need God in their life. They need a Redeemer. They need salvation so they can worship God out of love. And that's all it is. God says, believe and obey. Now, once you're saved, it's the same thing. You see, the children of Israel, all they were told was they were given the law. They were to believe it and obey it. And once you're saved, it's the same thing. I encourage you this morning to read your Bible. Read it. And then believe it. It's God's Word. Believe it. You know, I tell you, there are a lot of passages in the Bible I don't understand. I can tell you right now, you get to the Revelation, you get to some of the Old Testament prophecies, I guess you'd say, recognize what it's saying, but to be able to describe it and tell you I completely understand what's going to take place, there's no way. We don't know the mind of God. That's impossible. But we do have the truth that we can accept. And we can say, you know, I don't know how God's going to work this out, but God has said He is going to return. God has said He's going to establish His kingdom, and I know my God keeps His word, because guess what? He came the first time. He sent His Son just as He said He would. He provided salvation just as He said He would. He took care of the Israelites just as He promised He would do. Redeemed them out of Egypt after 400 years, just like He told Abraham He would. You see, we come to trust God, and then we begin to obey Him. So read the Bible, trust God, look to God's Word, and then apply it. Live by it. I think with believers, if we're not careful, we can look elsewhere for our answers. And that's when we can run into trouble, because we can look to man's teachings or man's methods to help us out. Now, God's Word, I think, should never be set aside so we could follow someone else's ideas or thoughts. This is God's Word. It's sufficient for us today. You see, our churches should preach God's Word. They should teach God's Word. We should believe God's Word. We should live by God's Word. We shouldn't be applying the philosophies of the world to our life. God has given us the answers that are required. You know, I think about what's happening. Many churches are turned into nothing but places of philosophy. And no wonder we have problems in churches. No wonder there's problems in our society, because people are no longer looking to God's Word anymore. They're no longer obeying what God has said. And so we need to make sure that we're obeying God's Word, basically surrendering our life to God and His Word, obedience. Now, this is not for us to go to the Bible so we can confirm our ideas. And that happens too. You know, we get some opinions and ideas, and we can go to the Bible and look to confirm those. Read your Bible so you can find what God has to say. Read your Bible so you can see what God expects. And then align yourself with God. You see, that's what we find here with this book. That's what happened here with the Israelites. Moses said, here's what God says. Here's what you need to believe. Here's what you need to do. Now it's up to you. If you choose to walk with God, you're going to be blessed. Here's what God will give you. If you choose to disobey and go your own way and do your own thing, then you can expect the problems that are going to come with that. You see, this book is a book of obedience. And in closing this morning, I want to illustrate real quick the power of this book. The power of this book. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to have two passages we're going to turn to. First one here is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And this is as the book is drawing to a close. We find in Deuteronomy chapter 31 in verse 24. It says here, and it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law, that's Deuteronomy, this book here, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Moses looks and says here, by God's direction, take this book. When he's done, he said, put it in the Ark of the Covenant as a witness against you, that God has given you His law, that you need to obey it, that you need to keep it. Nobody could ever say that God was not fair, that God did not provide what he expected. And so that's what they did. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Because see, what took place is years passed. Several years passed. They entered into the land. They had prophets. They had kings. They rebelled. They had problems. All sorts of things. And over time, the book was neglected. And eventually, the book was forgotten. And it was lost. Now think about that. Deuteronomy was lost. The book was lost to the people. You see, it can happen. A nation can lose God's Word. I'll just put it that way. They lost Deuteronomy. 2 Kings chapter 22 tells us a young king assumed the throne. His name was Josiah. And he began to restore the temple. that had fallen apart, began to restore it. And during the construction, you know what happened? You know what they found? They came across an old book. Hey, look at this. And they pulled it out. And it was this book. Notice what happened in verse 11 of 2 Kings chapter 22. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah a servant of the king's, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us. You have a young king who finds this book. They find it, they read it to him, and the Bible tells us he was shocked. He rent his clothes. That's symbolic of just awe and mourning. I could just see this king saying, oh my, what have we done? No wonder our land has not been blessed. No wonder our nation has been divided. No wonder we don't receive these great blessings. No wonder we have all these problems. No wonder there's crime. No wonder there's sin. I tell you, you read the rest of that passage. Some of the sins that plague our country today were plaguing Israel on that day. No wonder the land was filled with filth, because we've forgotten the law of God. We've forgotten God's direction. Well, things were made right in Israel, and God blessed again. This morning, read this book and be obedient unto God. Let's never forget that God has directed us, shown us how to go. I think as people, as individuals, if we get astray, we forget this book, we can come back to Deuteronomy and be reminded of the importance of obeying God. As a church, the same thing, and even as a nation. A nation can get right with God if they go back to His law and they obey what God has for them.